What would true health care reform in America look like? We're going to talk about that right now with Dave Chase. He is the co-founder of Health Rosetta. His website is healthrosetta.org. He's also the author of a book about opioid. It's called The Opioid Crisis, Wake Up Call. But we're going to focus on health care in America and specifically how to reform it. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, so we know that President Obama, former President Obama, tried to reform health care, but there's a lot of complaints about, legitimate complaints about Obamacare. What he said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. That all sounded good. So we need true health care reform. How do we, first of all, what would it look like?
Well, you have to recognize that half of Americans, basically, if you're not low income or elderly, you get your benefits through your job. So there's a real rising, I call it kind of a do-it-yourself health reform movement at the employer level. And if you look at what they're doing there, it's realizing, wow, this system is really broken. And if you were talking about the Obamacare and whatever side you're on that issue, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question what it was about was doubling down on the existing system. And, if you put wings on cars, and that doesn't make them an airplane. And so what you see is people saying, okay, there's no well-functioning healthcare system in the entire world that we've ever heard of that isn't built on the foundation of proper primary care. It's kind of a overlooked thing. And that's what you see. The employers who are spending 20, 30, 50% less on healthcare with superior outcomes, they're building it on the base of proper primary care. And even in the publicly paid programs, I'm personally experiencing it with my folks where we got them into a Medicare Advantage program that had proper primary care. And so it's very basic, seems simple, but it took us 20 years to destroy primary care. It's going to take us a while to rebuild it brick by brick, but it's happening, and that's a great foundation. And again, we can certainly go into more details on what you build on top of that foundation.
I don't understand what you mean by proper primary care. Could you please spell it out?
Yeah, that's a great question. Primary care, for the most part in the U.S., has been turned into this kind of drive-by thing, where because of the government policy, they don't pay primary care very well. So it's become just kind of this referral machine. Think of it as like milk in the back of the store at a grocery store. You have 7-minute appointments that the primary care docs are kind of put under pressure to perform in order to make any decent money. And so what can you do in 7 minutes but refer to high cost, high margin items, whether it's prescribing a pill, going to a specialist, a surgery, and so on. And so the reality is, in a proper primary care, you have the time. It might be a 30-minute appointment. And when you have that, both in the U.S., where people have done this, but as well as other countries like in Denmark, where 90% of the issues that people come into the healthcare system for can be fully addressed in primary care. That's proper primary care.
So, okay. Again, more detail. So in other words, the doctors these days, it's just not to their advantage to spend the time properly with their patients. Maybe they should have less patients, but more, in other words, we need more quality, less quantity, kind of?
Yeah, kind of. And what you see, like there was a organization that's a great example of this that was the feature in my TED talk, where their primary care, what it includes is, yes, the doctor, but it also includes a physical therapist, a dietitian, a mental health professional, a pharmacist, all within the same walls. And so, because a lot of times there's multiple things at play, and rather than getting, pinballed around from one place to another, The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, they coordinate. And at the end of the day, this is an organization that's been doing this for 20 years, and they cumulatively have saved over $300 million compared to a like employer. They're in the hotel business, and have done incredible things for the benefits for their employees as well as extended to the community just by making sure, hey, most of these things, of course, surgeries aren't going to be done in a primary care setting and, you know, some other things, and that's fine. You know, you should go to a surgery center or a hospital for that. But most things aren't that complex. And so they handle it there. And physical therapy is a good example. They have physically demanding jobs, you know, maids and maintenance workers. And rather than waiting for them to have some back spasm because, you know, their back is strained, they go into the workplace and teach people how to lift properly and stretch and things like that. And it's amazing how much more effective that is. And, by the way, as a byproduct, they prescribe opioids at 1/6 the rate of a typical employer. So they basically don't have the opioid problem that most employers have.
Do you mind saying what that particular company is? Or, I mean, is that appropriate?
Oh, sure.
It sounds good.
Absolutely. It's, it's in my book. It's called Rosen Hotels. And, you know, they literally have the best benefits package I've heard of any company in America. And they're spending 55% less per capita on health benefits. And they take the money that others are squandering in healthcare and they invest it in kids and education. What I mean by that is their employees get their college education paid for, and their employees' kids' college education is paid for after a few years of service. And if that wasn't enough, they adopted a nearby crime-ridden neighborhood and invested in kids and education in the form of daycare, pre-K, after-school programs. So far, they've funded 450 college educations. Crime went down by over half. High school graduation rates more than doubled. The entire cost of that was less than 5% of what they'd saved on healthcare compared to like employers. And so it's kind of a microcosm of what we need to do much more broadly.
So in other words, what's needed is kind of I don't want to use the word holistic because that will conjure up different kind of meanings. But what's needed is kind of a situation where the healthcare stuff is not so compartmentalized, you know, with this specialist versus that specialist. Am I right at all or no? Tell us more.
That is definitely right. The other part of it where, you know, if you want to use that holistic or broad or complete, whatever word is appropriate.
Yeah, I don't think holistic is a good word to use because that has other meanings in the healthcare experience.
Oh, sure. What they recognize is that the clinical care, the sick care system only drives less than 20% of outcomes. It's actually health behaviors, clean air, clean water, safe neighborhoods, education, job opportunities. Those things actually have a bigger impact on health outcomes than clinical care. And so that's, you know, holistic or whatever the word, you know, that's the total view. And that's what they did with both their employees and their community around them. It's just really breathtaking to see.
Well, you know, kind of along these lines, a friend of mine got me into jogging about 10 years ago, a more earnest version of jogging. And he said, boy, you know, running, it sure beats the doctor's bills. Of course, there's doctor's bills at the other side of that, too, with too much running, you know, as far as the knees and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is diet, exercise, stress management, lifestyle things, essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the clinic my parents are in, they look at all those things. I mean, they share a parking lot, not with a medical center. They share it with a grocery store because, frankly, a lot of people don't know how to properly shop at the grocery store. And so they look at that and realize, you know, some people, the thing that might keep them from getting healthy is food. Another person is they're socially isolated because they don't have the ability to drive. So they teach their patients how to use the transit system. I mean, it's kind of this common sense stuff that really has a big impact.
You know, one issue, too, when it comes to insurance, what we really need insurance for in the big picture is the crises. So, in other words, if you get a real big, you know, big, huge problem, that's where the insurance comes into place. Crisis insurance, you know, as opposed to just regular run-of-the-mill small problems like the common cold.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of crazy. We do the equivalent of pulling out our State Farm card when we go to Jiffy Lube, when we use insurance to pay for things like primary care. That stuff is very budgetable, you know, and if you have a halfway, you know, sizable organization, you can really predict, you know, how many cancers you're going to get, how many back surgeries, how many strep throats. It's quite budgetable. The things that you want to really use insurance for, you know, that bad accident or the cancer or the, you know, hemophilia or something like that, not these everyday things, unless you like paying a 40% insurance bureaucracy tax. That would be the only reason really to do that.
I understand that health insurance costs today, it costs businesses at about $15,000 per employee. That's amazing. And obviously, you know, sometimes the employer picks that up. Sometimes the employer will pick up part of it and then have the employee pick up the rest. But it's still a large sum.
It is. And even after all of that sum, it's really crazy how you have a very large chunk of our population that are what I call functionally uninsured. And that is when your life savings are less than your deductible and copay, you're functionally uninsured. So you may, if you look at 70% of the medical bill driven bankruptcies, these are people who had insurance. So we have to really rethink how these things are organized. It's just, it's a very rotten system right now that's, you know, really hurting the working and middle class.
Well, I figured out the key to Obamacare is just don't get sick. But all seriousness aside, what about the pre-existing condition argument? Or, you know, because that was definitely something that came up. I've even seen ads during the midterm elections where, you know, candidate so and so doesn't, you know, want to help the person with the pre-existing conditions. So comment on that.
Well, it's certainly a great talking point, and it's an issue. But the thing is, if you actually get the costs under control, you can afford these pre-existing conditions, and if you manage them well. If you look at Rosen Hotels, 35% of their workforce are Haitian immigrants. You know, that's common in a hotel setting. And they have the things that commonly Americans have, but a lot of them haven't been exposed to a well-functioning modern healthcare system. So they have high rates of TB and HIV, but they still spend 55% less per capita because they manage that all well. So that's where we need to shift our focus, is if you don't let the cost get out of hand, you can actually afford those pre-existing conditions. And so rather than, you know, blame it on that, let's blame it on the underlying design.
We have less than a minute to go. How do you manage those things well? Briefly.
Well, I mean, in terms of the clinical care, you have to, there's something called centers of excellence that are, you know, they're objectively identified as centers of excellence for complex things, whether it's HIV or cancer or musculoskeletal or, you know, neurological. There are places that, like the Mayo Clinic, Virginia Mason, and so on, that don't have what's unfortunately high rates of misdiagnosis, overtreatment, and lack of coordination of care. They have more of a team-based model. And so whether it's getting the diagnosis right in the first place or once somebody is sick, having a well-coordinated team, that's how you can keep the costs under control, even if somebody does have something.
I see. Okay, well, people could get more information at healthrosetta.org. I assume that if they go to that, Dave, they could see your TED Talk about this whole thing of healthcare reform. Is that right?
They sure can. Healthcare stole the American dream. Here's how we take it back. So it summarizes some of what we've been talking about.
Wow. I look forward to seeing that. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.